something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's the premiere of the new Mark Knopfler show, Money for Nothing.
We talk about legendary bod Eddie the Wrench Wernich.
Plus, the top five spyglasses jams. It's a long story. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, take it out. This is the Mark Knopfler show, called Money for Nothing, in which we talk about people's personal wealth. I'm your host, Mark Knopfler. My guest today has been in a bunch of shows over time.
I'd say more movies. I don't really, not a TV guy.
Well, in England we call them shows. His name is Nick Nolte.
Hey, how are you, Mark? It's nice to meet you.
I am not too bad.
I think I met you back in 1986 or 7 at a concert.
That I don't recall.
Me either, Mark.
The purpose of this show is to talk to people about their wealth. And people who make money for nothing. Which, it seems to me, as an actor, that's what you do.
Well, you don't know shit, Mark. You just sit up there and do your fancy guitar. I mean, you're talented and all, but shit, you don't do much of anything yourself.
Well, let's start at the start. Are you a nervous investor?
Well, I don't like to take chances, Mark. I mean, I've always been pretty savvy when it comes to the economy.
Nick Nolte does.
I just like to... Hey, how you guys doing? Who the hell is that?
Oh, Harry doesn't mind.
That's right. Harry. Who the hell is that?
Oh, Harry. He's my sidekick.
That's right.
He's my brother in arm.
We like to have a good time, right, Mark?
Yeah, we sure do.
Hey, who's on the show here? Are you going to ask a question or what?
So, Nick, tell me about the first job you ever had.
Well, I think the first job I ever had was breaking into a liquor store at
Nick
14.
Nolte in the liquor.
Yeah, that's a bit more of a B&E than it, but I did learn.
Nick Nolte, learn B&E. A lot.
Yeah, that's right. You wanna pick up the guitar there and play a little something?
We're going to take a break on Money for Nothing. A guitar break.
You think?
Check it out.
You think you're getting away with it, Mark? You think you're getting away with it?
This is the highest concept thing we've ever done.
Sorry, I'm just going to play my guitar. And stand so far away.
Hey, that's not half bad, Mark.
It is actually the best lick. So, Mark Knopfler is hosting a show called Money for Nothing, even though the song is so far away, and it's a consumer affairs show for people in jobs that he thinks get their money for nothing.
Yeah, people that have jobs where they just sit on their ass.
So Nick Nolte, as an actor for Mark Knopfler, gets his money for nothing and his chicks for free. So his whole thing is like, you never worked a day. It's a tricky one because Mark Knopfler's British, but when he sings, he don't have the accent anymore. So I couldn't decide what to do.
It was great.
It's on the Mark Knopfler show. You're at the Knopfler show.
I love how he has Harry on it. That's a sign.
Yeah. It's a long way to go for one.
And Harry doesn't mind.
Play the lick again. I just want to do a welcome back to the Mark Knopfler show.
It's the Mark Knopfler show. Welcome back from break.
Do you like
Mark?
That lick?
How are you?
Because I love
it's
that.
It's fantastic. Lick. It's brilliant. I love it. It's awesome. Like, it's one of those songs. It's one of those songs that you put on or it comes on. You can't turn it off because it's so nice.
And yet not much happens in that song.
Oh, but it's so smooth. Just elegant guitar track and just so great. Playing is incredible on that.
Fudlegek.
Here I am again in this mean old town, and you're so far away from me. Fudlegek.
So this morning, and I heard this song, and I was like, for some reason, this would be great as a talk show.
Hit it again.
I like how it starts with the chugs. You're right.
Oh yeah,
God. Welcome back to the Mark Knopfler Show. I'm your host, Mark Knopfler, and we'll take it up. All right, here we go.
His little vocal improv on TV. Here we go.
I got my kerchief on.
He counts himself in.
What? Hit it again. Hit it again. Hit it again, please.
Okay.
2, 3, 4. Here we go. I take it out. Welcome to I'm with the Bandana. I'm your host, Mark Knopfler. All right, here we go. Got in a 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to the show. I'm Mark Knopfler. How you doing today?
It's like it takes like 10 minutes, like one of his songs, like, to actually like bring the show in. He's like, here we go for like 6 minutes. All right.
All right. Take it out.
It's good to he just stop. Keeps doing different reads on it, like, and you're so far away from me.
You're so far away from me. You're so far away from me.
It's no different than a concert warming up the crowd. And then the show is like only like 2 minutes left for an interview.
Because the whole thing is just...
Yeah.
All right.
The whole here show is you doing the... Ready?
Yeah.
Here you go again.
All right. Well, here we go. Get it on. A 1, 2, 3. Here we go. All right. It's going good. Yeah. All right. Here we go. I'll take it out. You're so far away from me. You're so far away from me.
He also even does his own backup vocals, doesn't he?
No, he's got the normal backup folks. So no, do it now. It's the out. So you're singing and talking.
You're so far away from me, and welcome back to TV. Here we go. Welcome back from the break, and we'll take a break.
I'm a Dire Straits guy all day, every day. I love it.
Come on now. This is still the intro.
They go to commercial during the intro and come back and it's still the intro. So he can't even technically say welcome back because it's still welcome.
Yeah, it does like that. It comes back. Okay, so it's fading out and then goes to break.
Guys, and then we're it's clear. Like, and we're coming back in one, in two, coming one, two, and three, and four.
He's his own house band.
Still hasn't even done a monologue yet.
Because he just wants to keep playing that lick over and over again.
Now he's warming the crowd up. He's like standing up. Standing up with the crowd.
Like he's not even sitting behind the desk because he's still over where the house band is.
Yeah.
Like, Mark, we need to get on with the show.
Well, we're just getting warm. Here we go.
Okay. Get on the... We got a great show for you tonight, one of those.
As it goes to break.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good, though, is the thing. It's undeniable. Did you ever cross paths with those masks?
No, I wish. But if he... Never turned down a chance to go see them live either. Or Mark Knopfler by himself or whatever.
You were in the Prince of Tides.
Wow. That was interviewing great. People.
48 hours.
How many IMDb credits do you think Nick Nolte has?
Oh my God. Is that so? That's including movies and television, or just movies?
Probably, right? Actor credits.
I'm gonna say, like, I don't know, 900.
101.
Huh?
Just like the Dalmatians. 101.
101. That's insane, man. Imagine 100 movies.
This Nick Nolte trivia is interesting. What year was Nick Nolte born in? Would you say?
How about you ask Nick Nolte his own things, because he's all banged up.
Hey, what year were you born?
1939.
It says 41.
Oh, yeah.
Is it 41? Were you in a movie called Grace... No, Grace Point was a TV show.
Let's find a good one.
Tell me about doing Cats and Dogs, The Revenge of Kitty Galore.
Oh, I did that one for the cash, I gotta say. But I do remember in my hotel room, I was in my underwear, and as I usually put the wallpaper, the walls with my lines, I was just spun out on... I think it was mescaline, and anyway, it was a fun flick.
Down and out in Beverly Hills.
Exactly.
That was the one with the dog with the black circle around its eye, right?
Yeah, that one's not bad, right? That's a pretty good one when they dust him up and take him in. And
1986.
And then everybody, I mean, he looks pretty much like the homeless guy all the time now.
Which I have to assume he's like just made a decision to embrace. Like, I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah. I guess it's formally called addiction.
Is it?
I don't know. I mean, he's got a pretty crazy history. I don't hear a lot of Nick Nolte is clean and sober stories. Do you?
No, maybe. But
I don't think so.
In my mind's eye, I had separated Busey and Nolte. Like, they're not interchangeable. Nolte had more cred as an actor, didn't he?
Yeah, for sure, I would say. I mean, Busey, the only thing he ever did was that Buddy Holly movie. That's about it.
That you know was what credible, movie I'd say. Nolte did that I thought he was awesome, and I think we've talked about it before, Blue Chips, the basketball movie.
He's great in so many movies.
Yeah.
He's great in Affliction. You think you're getting away with it? That's a great one. It's Hudson, Quebec, I think it's filmed in.
Canadianity. He's in Mulholland Falls. Speaking of Canadianity, the gentleman that penned The Littlest Hobo Theme passed away today.
Ah, oh, that's a bummer.
It is a bummer, the theme or the lyrics? What a legacy.
The lyrics or the jam? The music and the lyrics?
No, to be honest.
I think it might be just the lyrics, but...
Man who wrote the lyrics, The Littlest Hobo Theme, yeah.
But still, half of glorious jam.
That's quite a legacy, though. You'd be proud if that's what you contributed.
Imagine you look at the credits and it's that and Roy Fiedler.
Aww.
Fieldman or whatever.
Martin Lager.
That's not Canadian at all.
No. One of his hobbies was astronomy, but he also wrote songs with his friend Terry Bush.
He wrote the jam and it's the lyrics.
Well, wait a sec. His name was John Crossan. Okay. He was born in the U.S. and moved to Toronto in 67. In any event, sorry to hear of his passing.
Yeah.
But what a legacy, man.
Big time.
Hey, I know it's going to be old news by the time it comes out, but did you watch the Bare Nakeds on the Junos?
Yeah, it was great. Fantastic. I got to say, it was nice to see them together. They obviously are still... as great, I mean, they're great as a band anyway. To have just, it was nice to see Steven up there and it gel just like old times, you know what I mean?
Well, and I'm sure there was, I sent Ed an email saying, man, that, you know, so great, good for you guys. And he said that it was like crazy weekend of highs and lows, as you might expect, but there's clearly still major chemistry there. And you know, I'm sure everyone's wondering if that was a one-time thing or if it's going to be the new reality again. But in any event, if that's all we ever get to see the original lineup with Kriegsy and everyone, it was still really cool that it happened.
Yeah, what's also amazing is there's a resurgence going on a little bit of them, you know, with the kids who had no idea who they were and they probably listened to them like, man, these are some catchy jams.
Yeah.
Let's get going here.
They're also heavy players, each of them.
Yeah, they're great players, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also have to say, the Arkells just took it up notches beyond.
No kidding. That's the
best Junos performance I've ever seen, period.
Buenos notches.
Usually the sound is a little bit tricky or just doesn't, there's always a little bit of a, it doesn't sound like the Grammys or... you know, American broadcasting when it just seems to, for some reason, have a better audio.
Yes.
A better, and I think it's number one, the production value, because they're spending way more money and they have way more equipment. And number two, overall, generally, the musicians are ridiculous or it's just taped. You know what I mean?
Well,
but just the Arkells, I just thought, I mean, it's just them up there on stage. They've been touring for a long time. They're just completely bulletproof right now.
Tight, you know? Yeah.
They killed it.
And Sarah Harmer and Dallas Green as well with the Gord tribute was lovely.
Yeah.
Sarah Harmer's voice just grabs me right by the heart, man. She's a beautiful singer.
Yeah, we got some greats up here, and there was a good showcase of all of them there. At the Junos.
Yeah, it was good.
Gotta say.
I was watching it from Miami, where I'm still working. I'm in the bathroom of our hotel room at the Fountain Blue. Girls are outside in the room doing school work. And I think our toilet's running. So if there's some curious audio issues that renders this podcast not as tight sound-wise as the Arkells on the Junos, that's what's going on.
Don't blame us. Blame this.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm going to do, right?
Yes.
Maybe we should let Mark Knopfler show go to the end of the show. There was no guest, so you take us out.
Yeah, sure.
That's all the time we have.
I'd like to thank my guests for coming here this week. Sorry we didn't get them on the show. But we're gonna try again next week. Hope you'll come back with us. And the Mark Knopfler Show. Thanks for tuning in to Money for Nothing. Take it home. And a 1, 2, 3, pull. Harry doesn't mind.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Hoppy Easterbot.
Hoppy 140.
Two. And we're in home.
We made it home, and let's not forget, the most bizarre part is this is actually segment 2.
Whoa.
Remember?
I remember. We did segment 1 when I was still, where was I? Still in Miami, wasn't I?
You were in Miami, and I think Mark Knopfler's show is probably one of my favorite bits now of all time.
Oh my gosh. I had a lot of time to think on the drive home, and I vacillated back and forth between it was awesome and I don't know how good my Knopfler was.
Oh, well, your Knopfler was amazing. You should not have spent 1 second worrying about that. It was great.
Well, I feel like the premise on paper was great. I feel so it's,
you know what?
It's a Mark Knopfler show called Money for Nothing, in which he discusses the financial well-being and health of celebrities. Yeah. That's a great premise.
But honestly, I had a feeling, and it was way above the mark of that feeling. So that's success, right? We're happy. That's what this show's about,
I guess so. If someone started to poke holes in it, like, well, then why was it so far away instead of Money for Nothing?
But we talked about that. We said that's even better that it has to be so far away. That's like for it to be Money for Nothing would be almost stupid.
It's too on the nose, right?
Yeah.
And for it to be so far away and it's a show about long distance relationships, that's too on the nose too.
It can't be any other song. The whole concept of it came from that riff, and the riff was so friendly to a talk show that it didn't even have to be Mark Knopfler as the host.
There are certain things that I do on a drive like the length of the one from Florida to Nova Scotia. One is I listen to tunes that are set in or around places I'm driving through. So every time I'm driving through Allentown, I listen to, "Well, we're living here in Allentown." And because we were close to Philadelphia.
What the hell is that?
Don't you know the Billy Joel song, Allentown?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But that's a little a deeper track, sure.
Yeah, it's a deeper track. Because we were near Philadelphia, I was listening to Sailing to Philadelphia by Mark Knopfler and James Taylor. And it's the story of Mason and Dixon sailing over to make the Mason-Dixon line.
Way.
Yeah, it's an historical song.
They call me Charlie Mason, a stargazer am I. It seems that I was born to chart the evening sky.
Throws everything away.
Welcome to the Mark Knopfler Show.
And then I remembered how funny it was that he has his own house band. And he never really gets to the show because it's all just the counting in and then counting out.
It's just that song. And you could have that song when you're driving and probably feel like you could go on forever. That would really help a drive.
Great driving tune.
It's built to never end. That could be like an elevator ride that's like 4 minutes long or like even 10 minutes.
No problem. And you'd be like, imagine if every day at work you got on the elevator and that was the first jam.
Right. You hear the chug, you get on the elevator right away.
You know, Groundhog Day.
You press a button and you're like,
ding. How's your day, Fred? Good. How was yours?
Pretty good. Actually, it's
another one in the can, huh?
It's even better now.
You would kind of, it would be like sense memory. You would associate that with getting in your car. Same way that if when you set your iPhone alarm and it goes off, you have a, because you associate that sound with having to get up.
Can you press 92 for me?
Oh, 92. Speaking of workplaces, Jeremy Taggart, did you happen to see this guy who live tweeted a stolen lunch incident in his office?
No, really.
It was the most compelling short story I've read this year.
Oh, it's not like photographed? It's just
no, told. He was like, guys, this guy at my work had his lunch stolen from the fridge, and HR is letting him watch the security footage to see who it was.
Oh, wow.
And then it's like a nice. Moment by moment. He just came back. He's not telling us. He just told us it's the woman that sits across from me. She just left for the day. And then he picks it up a day later. Like, she just walked in here. HR sent an email to the whole staff saying, don't steal lunches. As she was reading it, she was like, who would steal someone's lunch? And
no!
The guy whose lunch she stole was like, yeah, who would do that? It was riveting.
It's like the Serial podcast, just like you're dying.
Yeah, exactly. So then she doubles back and tries to do damage control and says, oh, wait a sec. Was that your shrimp with rice?
No.
Yeah. Babe. And then the guy who was live tweeting the story bought 3 plates of shrimp and rice and gave them to her and the guy. And he's like, let's see what happens. This is ruthless.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Finn, so what happened? I mean, honestly... I mean, that woman could probably sue him.
For live tweeting it?
Well, just for the damage that's created from it.
Well, he didn't say what her name was or anything.
Yeah, I guess. If it never gets out there, but man. Because, like, you can really get blown up outside where if it's in the room and it happens with the colleagues and stuff, it is what it is. But if it's blown out towards the world,
yeah,
it's... consequences become a little more harsh for both sides.
You know? I guess it's true. Yeah. If it was like a really small a place of business and you could prove that it was you.
Well, I remember there was like footage on like one of those Inside Edition or whatever shows from the 90s. And it was like some guy who was pissing in the coffee carafe.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he like a 60 Minutes correspondent or something?
I don't know, maybe.
Or CBS reporter?
He's like looking around, like firing it in there.
And then pours it down the sink and rinses the cup, doesn't he? How greasy. And there's no way to be like, you know what, guys? Honestly, I was just... There's no I was just.
Like, how much do you have to hate somebody to do that?
I think, a lot. Going from memory, I think he just kind of had to go.
No, he was doing it on the reg. He had like a bunch of different versions. I remember it was like 3 or 4. He's like going in it again. Having a rip in the pot.
Wow.
Greasy.
The second thing that struck me driving through America... First of all, I listen to tunes that have to do with the geography of where I am. And Carol made me a playlist, which is great. Because the good thing about driving a rig like that is that the girls can be up and around and coloring and in their bunk and whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just sitting there.
No kidding.
So half the time they're up front with me, but the other half the time they're off partying. So Carol made me a playlist, which is really like... It's really like the equivalent of making a mixtape for somebody. It's very personal and intimate.
Sure. Yeah.
There were like 25 tunes and everyone was like, oh, member?
No, nice. You're like driving and crying.
Yep.
Right? Did you get a couple well waters?
Sure.
Nice.
Yeah, and a couple of songs, like there was an acoustic version of Summer of 69.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I was tired, but I was like, this song is beautiful. This is a beautiful song.
Jim Vallance at his best.
Yep. And I remember all the grief that came out about that song at the time because people were like, oh, really, Bryan Adams? When you were 8, Summer 69 was a big deal, was it, bud?
Yeah, exactly. And Jim Vallance, who's like 15 years older.
Yeah. I remember I mentioned there were 2 things that I think about when driving through America. One is the music, and the second is, not to be a downer, but the number of towns and places associated with atrocities, like not even looking for them. And we drove by Virginia Tech and we drove by Sandy Hook in Newton, Connecticut.
Wow.
Like all these, like, oh my gosh, these places are famous for the worst reasons.
Man, that's awful.
Just makes you proud to be Canadian is all.
That reminds me of, like, I've actually had the weird opportunity and odd, I guess, perspective of seeing some crazy stuff like the Oklahoma City bombings.
Yeah.
I played in Oklahoma City like 3 days after that, or like 4 days. So
whoa.
I walked around the building and saw the shattered buildings around it, all the glass for 3 or 4 blocks surrounding
how
the building.
How eerie.
It was awful. It was a terrible feeling. And then I remember being in our tour bus and actually having to stop because they pulled over what they thought was Timothy McVeigh at the time.
No way.
Yeah, but it wasn't. But the whole highway was stopped. And like, that's not, this is even more crazy. I was in Washington, D.C. when the sniper was doing that.
No, the Beltway sniper?
Yeah.
And, well, I was thinking about that too, because we drove right there.
I was staying, I think it was like the Red Hotel or something like that. But I remember running from the bus to the hotel because it was just like so creeped out and there was nobody around. And at that point, I think there had been several people had been shot. And on our way outside, leaving D.C. after our show at the 9:30 Club, there were like slow on the highway, and all of a sudden, hang on a sec.
Are you going to answer the phone? Do it.
No, I'm not, because it's Jack's buddy.
Oh.
Anyway, so we're stopped, and we look, and we're and watching CNN, and as they find the guy, like in the car or whatever, the man who was doing it, it was like we drove by the scene.
Whoa.
So we're like seeing the lights of the cameras and all the police, and that was nuts. So
as I recall, that one was terrifying because
really
they couldn't
was.
Figure out how it was happening. And wasn't it a guy and his nephew?
Yeah,
and
he was
they were taking
the
turns lying in the trunk with a hole?
Yes. So you couldn't see. And
so
it
they
were
shooting
happening.
Out the trunk.
Yeah, it's happening completely randomly around the city too.
Terrifying. The Beltway yeah. sniper. So Yikers I was thinking about Island. That as we drove up the Beltway. So many of these places we now associate with these awful things that happen. But I feel like, you know, we've obviously had our share of things in Canada that we're not proud of too, but I feel like we have less of those.
Yeah. Well, those out of control, like, is this really happening ones?
Yeah. But man, that's a drive. We did South Carolina on the first night. Same thing. We went to Hershey, to the Hershey Chocolate Factory.
Nice.
And spent the second night there, third night in Bangor. We did the Fishkill sneak. We went to Fishkill, New York.
Ooh.
To circumnavigate Boston or New York City.
I like
to
that.
To try to get around the traffic, and it works pretty well.
It's a good move?
Yeah, the Fishkill sneak. It's the new Bangor sneak.
It is, because yeah. Bangor is getting too popular.
Well,
that snake?
I don't know if it's too popular. If you're ever in Bangor, the Jason's Pizza is not to be missed.
Is it banging?
It's banging. And we stay in the residence in Bangor, which is kind of brand new.
Yeah.
And so the pool is tight. There's waffles for breakfast and stuff. It's, you know, it's tight.
That's awesome.
Those are the things that, at this stage in our lives, mean everything. Like, oh, really? There's a breakfast? All right. Let's do it.
I spent some time in Bangor.
Doing what?
Just playing, hanging out.
Well, remember
around.
2 times ago when I was there, the July Talk buds were doing their laundry in the Residence Inn in Bangor.
It's the kind of stuff you do in Bangor on a Sunday. You know what? I'd say there's some towns in America that, you know what I'm talking about, on a Sunday where it's just nothing going on and it just feels so boring. And when you're tired of touring on the road, or it's winter and you're just sitting in your hotel room and there's nothing to do but order a Domino's pizza.
Is Bangor one of those?
No, I'd say the worst place in America for that on a Sunday is Hartford.
Oh, wow.
That's a tough city on a Sunday, man.
Well,
sorry,
I feel we drove through
Hartford
too. I feel like Hartford also... has kind of a seedy underbelly, right?
Yeah, there's some bad parts, and it's just, yeah, there's not much going on a Sunday. I trade in, well, yeah, I'm not a fan of that on a Sunday. Sure, there's other nights of the week that are pretty good. They got rid of the Whalers. That's probably the worst move they could have done, eh?
Yeah. But you
can't
see,
go watch
all the towns...
Howe.
all the towns, as you know, start to kind of look the same after a while. But you can see, like, it's kind of a recurring theme. Like, the old brick factory, all right, well, let's make that into lofts. Like, yeah. Saw that in Richmond, Virginia, and in Hartford, and a lot of these kind of towns that are a little bit tired. Mm-hmm. Like, the kind of gentrification or rejuvenation or whatever is kind of underway, but it's putting lipstick on a pig in some of those cases for sure.
Yeah, there's some areas that need a lot of help and work and infrastructure that are getting neglected big time.
Jeremy, answer this question.
What?
Most surprising good time city.
Oh.
Like, you know what? I had no expectation, and it's actually kind of awesome.
Oh, Boise.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't think. Boise's a good town.
Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, and then I found out I had family in Boise. Like, cousins. Distant cousins. But it's great for, like, if you like outdoor stuff, mountain biking, but it's also a good city for families and schools, and it's good. Nice stuff.
I love that. We were actually supposed to buy our rig in Boise, mm-hmm. and they greased us out at the last minute. Like, we were checked in for our flight to go pick it up there, and so we walked from the deal and ended up going to Dallas instead. But I was secretly excited to go to Boise because I'd never been there.
I think people already know that Portland's great. But I would say back in the day, Portland was like, no, people don't know how great Portland, Oregon is. Portland, Maine, not as fun.
But it's still, Maine's a good town too.
It is. But I mean, I'm just, one of the beauties of Portland, Oregon is the mountains and the ocean and all that stuff.
So was Portland, like going by Portlandia, back in the day, was Portland always kind of kooky, or has it become kind of kooky?
It was, but I'd say that show has kind of ruined that town in a way, because it's everything is so far and over the top of all those characters, of the people.
Right.
And my buddy John Kawaja, who used to work for Adidas, used to work there in Portland. And I spent a lot of time going, when I lived and hung out in Vancouver, going down there a lot, and it's great. There's a little place called Lake Oswego. It's a great little spot. There's amazing restaurants, incredible little walking areas, and they got the Voodoo Donuts there. That's swank. You ever try one of those?
No.
If you like donuts, get yourself some Voodoo Donuts.
What was he doing with Adidas?
Design. Well, just kind of seeing. I think he was the VP at the time. Then he was plucked from there to head up TaylorMade.
So did he give you the Adidas shorts that you played behind the kit, that you wore behind the kit all the time? Yes,
100 times, 100% John Kawaja. Any affiliation that OLP had with Adidas was because of my bod, John Kawaja.
That's a good hookup, isn't it?
He's a sweetheart of a guy. He was a curler with Eddie the Wrench Wernich, so he's a legend in his own right.
Who's Eddie the Wrench?
Well, they're one of the biggest. Ask anybody who knows curling, and they'll tell you Eddie the Wrench.
Is he Canadian?
He's a fucking legend, John. Oh, I played golf with him one time, and he's older now. I was playing Beacon Hall with John Kawaja and Eddie the Wrench. And I think we were on, like, it was me and John, and we were all playing a match. And he's, like, a sneaky good golfer. And I think it was about the 12th hole or something, and he pulls over his cart, and he gets out. And we're like, what the hell is going on? We get out, and he looks, and he stands up, and he's standing there, and he just says, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today because we are done." Like, he was beating us so bad. And
no. That is a quality chirp. Wow. Like a funeral director.
Yes, he does it all.
I mean, he's no Lee Trevino.
No. Well, but he's the Lee Trevino equivalent in Canada, for sure.
That's 4 weeks in a row, Lee Trevino.
I love it. And see, did you see the snake tweets?
People, yes, I did. They were great.
They sent the video, the fake snake,
And also there's a picture of him with a real snake on a stick that's like during a PGA tour.
Also funny. Also funny.
I love that we got to talk about Kawaj and the wrench.
There you go.
Fantastic. It's good stuff right
and
there.
And we have a fun game to come, too.
Oh, yes, we do.
Be right back, budskies.
This episode of Ticket Times is brought to you in part by Chipotle. Chipotle, chips and quack, tacos, and enchiladas. We'll be right back.
It is like Groundhog Day. morning, Tyler.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Feel great.
Could you hit 8 for me, please?
I don't know what it is, but I only got 3 hours sleep, and I feel fantastic. Here you go. I'm pressing 72 for myself.
72. Oh, my gosh. You get to your desk at 10:40 because of elevator traffic? No,
you have to get up at 4.
Oh, so you can be on the 72nd floor by 9?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
The 172nd floor.
Heinous.
So, my wife got me these fantastic, I guess you could call it an early birthday gift. Lisa got them. She likes to get stuff at these auctions where you know, from films and stuff, where you see either like a furniture or clothing or anything. It could be anything. And it's like you can get stuff for 10% of the cost sometimes.
So online?
Well, it's online. Yeah, you bid online, but then you go pick it up.
I want to bid on stuff.
Yeah, I think it's 403 auctions.
Come on.
Yeah. You go to 403auctions.com, I think.
By the way, this is not a commercial.
No, it's not. But like you can go on there and you get anything from...
What?
Like a pair of brand new boots that were not used on set to a car. Because they had like 3 cars from a movie.
So these glasses might have been worn by John Lithgow in some movie?
No, they weren't worn. You know how they buy like 4 or 5 things and they use 1 or 2 of them? That's the case. So I don't know if it's from a film or what, but it's these like spy glasses. They're like, they look like chunky golf glasses, but that you can put like a memory card in there, like that you put in your phone.
Come on.
And there's 2 buttons where you can record and and stop. And
come on.
A jack where you can charge them. Yeah.
What is the video quality like?
I don't know. I'm sure it's good. They're probably a couple $100, so I'm sure it's probably pretty fantastic.
So did she?
And we can use it. We can use it on the road for gags.
Did she get you these glasses because she thought it would be funny or because you've always kind of thought it would be cool to... You're into spy culture? Like, how?
Well, I mean, this. If you walked in the room inside with these on, they'd just be like, what the fuck's going on right now? You know, like, they don't really... But if you're on, like, a golf course or, like, watching a baseball game or something, like, they're kind of... sporty, so it has to look like you're maybe running or mountain biking or something.
But if you were wearing them at Smitty's, people would be like, what? Look at that guy in the blue blockers. Like, are they big?
They're not big. Like I said, they're normal. They're a little bit kind of like, you know, senior styles.
I don't understand. Like, where's the camera?
You know, like the chunky, huge sunglasses that go over glasses a little bit,
yeah,
but they're still like look like golf size where they're just cover you. What were you asking?
Like, where's the camera?
In the middle, like right in the center. There's a dot.
And you put like a card in?
Yeah, in the arm, one of the arms.
Oh my!
And then
gosh.
A start and stop button that you can't see from the naked eye.
Please, can a picture of you in these glasses be with this episode so people can see what you're talking about?
I will make a video with them on to pre-drop the episode.
So what, like, legal application could you use them for?
Well, they'd be great for, like, espionage among friends, right?
Like
if you were trying to trick your friends into recording something or getting them to admit something and then you have it on video.
Yeah. Let's play that game right now.
Okay.
Let's play it. Like it's
Well, the first jams. Thing would have to be, wouldn't the person say, what's with those glasses?
Hold on, we could do like a top five spy jams or top five spy glasses jams. Okay. How about that? Top five spy glasses jams. That's funny. All right, that works.
Top spy five glasses. Spy glasses. Okay, so we need five entrapment scenarios.
Okay. Well, I got one right. I got one here off the top.
Okay, you pulled up a spy jam?
I got a spy jam. Hang on. Okay, this is one. This is for sure.
Okay. Who's starting?
Hey!
Hi.
Greg, you took beers from Dad's fridge yesterday. I know it.
What's it to you? And second of all, what's with the glasses? Are they? Did you get blue blockers?
I'm not wearing the glasses. You're supposed to wear the glasses for your brother.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes! You've been stealing beers!
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have! You're too old. Your brother's too young to drink. It's been you!
I'm so confused. Who's wearing the glasses?
Go to your room where your brother is and you can put on those glasses and throw him under the bus.
Okay. Got it. Aw, man. Mom sent me to my room.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I got some new glasses.
What are those glasses on? What the heck are those for?
I just got them for fashion, you know? Like, in the same way that people wear belts and shoes. It's just kind of an accessory. Quick question.
What?
Did you take Dad's beer from the fridge yesterday? Just look into my eyes for a sec.
Yeah, don't tell anybody, though. I get in real trouble.
So, don't to be clear... Anything. You took Dad's beer. Can you just say I took Dad's beer from the fridge, but he doesn't know?
Yeah. Don't say it loud. Don't say it loud, though.
Yeah, but can you just say those words in that exact order?
Say what?
Just repeat after me. I took Dad's beer from the fridge, but he doesn't know.
No, I did. I took Dad's beer. I took Dad's beer.
Okay, and can you say, and the best part is Mom thinks it was you?
Well... She does. Mom thinks it's you. Oh, that's awesome. So I took Dad's beers and Mom thinks it's you.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Yeah. See you later.
See ya. Got it.
So he's roasted.
Took me a couple of minutes to catch on to what was happening, but yes, and here we are.
You're in?
I'm in. I get it now. So I guess all we have to...
it's always, I guess, a third party that has to figure it out, right?
Yes. Or
it could be like, for example, I could be... We love Donovan. So pretend about like I'm reverb guy, hasn't been getting like paid for 3 weeks of work at the studio and he wants to call the union.
Oh, love it. Reverb guy is shaking Donovan down for money.
Yes.
Love it.
Hey, Donovan, I just finished cleaning the control room again.
Something's different about you.
What do you mean?
What's different about you? It's not your voice. What is it?
Well,
Did you get a new shirt?
I haven't eaten for a few days because I'm really hungry, you know.
That's not it. No. Did you get glasses? You got glasses. That's what it is.
Yeah, I got glasses.
They suit you. It's like the glasses equivalent of your voice. It really works.
You know what else suits me, Donovan?
What?
Food and water, man.
Oh, what's this then? What are you?
I haven't eaten... In 2 weeks, I'm cleaning up all over the place, and you're not giving me any money yet.
But it's right? Giving your voice a growl, yeah? There's the one thing it doesn't have is a growl. It's like a, I'm hungry.
Can you turn down the hip hop?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I just wanted to say I've been cleaning this control room, like you said, 12 hours a day for the last 3 weeks. You said you were going to pay me and you haven't, right?
Reverb guy, do you have amnesia? Do you not recall in the job interview, in whatever episode that was, I even said I pay once a month on the first of every month. You haven't been here a full month.
But it's been actually 5 weeks.
Reverb guy, what? Don't you know that there's 1 month in the year that has 5 weeks? But you started with the after the billing cycle. So make me an invoice, and then within 30 days, you'll be paid.
These glasses aren't really helping me right now. I'm still getting screwed.
You are not. Screw yourself, Reverb guy. Teasing me.
Reverb guy didn't go through the right questions.
That's all Teflon Donovan. Nothing sticks.
There's a billing cycle, yeah? So write an invoice and you'll be paid within 30 days.
He just bought himself 4 more weeks.
You. What are you?
By the way, I've recorded Indigo and Sugar Daisy saying, what are you?
Really?
Yeah.
Can you have it on you?
What are you?
That's good. Do you have it? Or it's on your phone?
It's on my phone.
All right. That's good stuff. You want to do, how about, Gino and Joe?
Yes.
Joe's wearing the glasses.
I suspect Joe would be trying to entrap Gino, if history dictates.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Haven't done these guys in a while. It's going to feel good.
I'm going to put this song on so it gives me the right, feeling.
Hey, Joe, can I help you? I'm kind of busy doing nothing over here.
Hey, don't mind me. I just working on my piano chops in the other room. You know, you remember?
Hey, Vogue Optical, what's on your face? You said I had to be free because you didn't pay money for those, did you?
Come on, Gino. I'm going to play tennis. I'm going to play tennis today.
What, vision impaired tennis? Why would you have those glasses on? You look like Roy Orbison with facial hair.
Okay, whatever, Gino, whatever, hey. Remember last week, a couple weeks ago, when I was playing that keyboard part? Remember the one I was playing in and it had that same kind of... Remember that sound?
Joe, why are you making direct eye contact with me? Your neck's not moving. Turn away from me. It's creeping me out.
Remember, you were with those girls, remember? The Saugerties twins or whatever?
Yeah, the Sanducci sisters. Yeah, so what?
Remember that song I had at... I want you to hear the demo I have of this song right here.
Well, I don't understand. Do you need a neck brace? Why are you staring at me? It's weird.
I'm just saying, I want you just to hear this. And like, remember, I played this for you the other day.
Whatever.
Okay, you ready to listen?
Yeah, that's the song that Roy and I came up with.
No. This is the one that I wrote in my bedroom. This is the same one I had. Now listen again.
Joe, you're weirding me out. Were you recording secretly when we were rehearsing, me and Roy?
This was 2 weeks before. Look! On the demo, it has a date on it. Look! Tell me that's not
the... Congratulations, Joe. It's the first date you've ever had in your life.
But just tell me that's a week before you guys. You and Roy were writing it, right?
Is a concept that it all kind of runs together. I don't know when it was. It might have been yesterday. It might have been a month ago. I don't know, Joe.
I'm telling you it was, but I just want you to tell me.
I'm telling you that you should take off those windshields on your head and come back down to earth because you're freaking me out.
Just tell me. Look me in the face and just say, I remember you playing that before I was doing a writing with Roy.
I can't say look that. You in the face. It's like the... windows at the revolving restaurant on the top of the CN Tower.
Hey, just pretend you're looking at yourself with these reflections.
Now that I can do.
Yeah, now tell me, just tell me you heard that song
before. Well, technically, I'd be telling me. If I'm looking at my reflection, I'd be looking at myself.
Now, what are you doing now? That's not true. Say, listen, I heard that before you and Roy was working.
Okay, so I'm telling myself. So I'm looking in your glasses, and I'm telling my own reflection, you wrote that song. You happy?
That's not what I was saying. You're changing it up on me, Gino.
That's what I said. I said you wrote that song.
I paid $300 for these glasses, and for what?
Joe, you're letting your anger management issues get away on you again. Joe. Careful you don't fall face first with those glasses on. You don't need shards of glass in your retina. Hello?
Poor Joe.
Poor Joe. Joe might be really smart.
He's getting blown up.
Joe's getting blown up. Okay, I want to entrap somebody. Will you be my wife?
Sure.
Okay.
You want a jam?
Yeah, sure. Alana?
Yes?
I have two questions for you.
Why are you wearing those glasses?
Well, that was question number one. What do you think?
Look, why are you playing this music? Why are you playing this music?
Hmm?
Why are you playing this music?
Because these are special music glasses, so just look right into my eyes for a second, and I'm going to ask you the second question.
I'm looking.
What's going on with Trent from your work?
What?
What's going on with Trent from your work?
I mean, I file paperwork and he loads the trucks. What do you mean?
Is either file the paperwork or load the truck, are those euphemisms for sexual activity?
What? What are you talking about,
Alana? Rockwell? I wasn't born yesterday.
Rockwell, I don't even know if you would. What do you mean?
Just look into my eyes and tell me nothing is going on with Trent from your work.
Nothing's going on with Trent and I at work. He does is load the trucks.
Okay, you keep saying load the truck. What does that mean?
Nothing. It's just, I'm saying that's what he does. All he does is load the trucks.
But you know how I always say you have dumps like a truck?
I don't remember that, but
I used to say it back when you looked at me a certain way and we did heinous, filthy things together.
I remember that. Yeah, you called me that.
So by load the truck, what do you mean? Is he doing awful things to you in certain places that I haven't seen in quite some time?
Why? I blew him behind the Coke machine last night.
You what?
I gave him a blowjob behind the Coke machine.
Thank you for this and for giving me my life back.
What?
Thank you for this and for giving me my life back. I now can be free because I know what's going on with you and Trent.
Whatever. At least I get the house.
I wish you the very best. All I need is these glasses.
You can have them.
You can have Trent.
You're goddamn right I will.
Well, they're going to court, eh, bud?
They're going to court, bud. What actual application will you use the glasses for?
Here's the last jam of the...
Okay, let's pretend you're you and you're trying to trick actual me.
Into what?
Admitting something.
Oh, okay. Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah?
Remember that awesome Macklemore tour jacket that I had?
Yeah. I loved that.
Remember I left it on your trailer the other time when we were hanging out for that show last year, remember?
Yeah, I do. Is that where you left it?
Yeah, I did, actually. I just kind of want that back. I just want you to tell me, like, you remember me on the, like, in there.
Wait a second. Do you know what I remember? I remember you saying, I'm going to trade this jacket for a pair of spyglasses. Are those the ones?
I don't remember saying
that. You traded that cool Macklemore tour jacket for those glasses. So wait a sec. Those are the spy glasses, right? Are you recording this?
Just, no. Well, yeah, but I mean, okay. Now you are, everybody knows that, like.
You can't record people without getting them to sign a waiver, releasing their likeness to you. That's really underhanded, Jer.
Well, I want my Macklemore jacket back.
Well, I want my likeness back. So give me the glasses, and I'll see if I can find your jacket.
All right.
All right. Here's the glasses. Your jacket's in a Sobeys bag, hanging on the door handle. I've been meaning to give it back to you.
Why didn't you tell me?
Cool glasses. Good chatting, bud.
Good chatting, bye, bud. Doom gong, gang, go, doom gong, jubo, bounce, doom, 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 do